start the day the Torah way on the sugya of Tam Ke'ika Venosin Tam Lifgam, Rabbi Elisha Yari, Fundamentals of Tam Ika.
This is really supposed to be an introductory share to the Seder Limud, which will continue afterwards. And it was decided that the Limud will be focusing more on Nosin Tam Lifgam. So obviously to jump into Nosin Tam Lifgam without any basis in Tam Ke'ikar, that's a bit working backwards. So I just wanted to mention a few points. Obviously, Tam Ke'ikar is a huge sugya, and 20 minutes is definitely not going to do it justice. But maybe something we could take out of it to think about while we're analyzing Nais and Tam Lefgam. So I think the first thing we really have to understand is, what is Tam Ke'ikar? So there's many, many opinions in the Rishonim about technical differences, about shiurim, how much iser is it mixed in, but let's put aside the Rishonim, just the working misvara, how could we break it down? So obviously, if you have two things, two foods, right, we're dealing with food here, one is asur, one is mutter. If you have a mixture of the two dry foods and they're not cooked with each other, there's no transfer from the iser to the heter, no one is going to say that there's tam, meaning some flavor going from one to the other. So what we'll say is yavish be yavish. That's certainly nothing to do with Tam Ke'ikar. On the other extreme, what certainly is L'chayra considered to be Tam Ke'ikar is when you have Yavish Balach, meaning if you have, let's say there's a piece of meat which is Asr and you're cooking it in water, so now the juices go from the meat. You could take the meat out, so you have your piece of Isr was in, and then you took it out. And what's left in the water? You have flavor of that meat. The actual meat is not there. So that L'chayra would be a prime example of what's called Tam Ke'ikar. Now, in between those two extremes, there's two other cases. There's a case where you have lach going into yavesh, right? So there, one could argue that maybe that's nothing to do with tam ke'ikar. Why? Because in the situation of a dry going into a liquid, you take the iser out. The iser is removed, and you're only left with the flavor. When you have lach in a yavesh, somebody could argue that's not tam ke'ikar. That's the actual thing. It's hidden inside the piece of dry food, but it's not only flavor. However, that l'chayra, I mean, there are some shittos who might say like that that's not tam, but Rashi in Avodah Zarah says explicitly that milk, which is absorbed into a piece of meat, is considered to be tam. And although Tosfos does say that that's not tam, that's actually the actual iser, but his next line is that if it was fat, non-kosher fat, that was liquefied and then was absorbed into a piece of meat, that would be considered tam. So clearly, the fact that you have the actual thing in liquid form, which is absorbed into a solid, that doesn't make it into the actual iser. Even Tosfos agrees that's tam. Why did he say that milk absorbed into meat is not tam? So the Rashash already asked the Kasha, and he says that Tosfos does hold that there is a slight difference. He says that when the thing which is absorbed in was in that state from its from when it was made, yeah, it didn't change from its initial state. That's considered like I have the actual thing. But chaylev, which was a solid and then a liquefied, so it went through a process, that is considered to be tam. But in any event, both Rashi and Tosfos agree that the fact that something is here and now it absorbs into something else, just because it's here, doesn't mean that that's the actual iser. We look at that as tam ke'ikar. Now what about a situation where you have two liquids? Now, without cooking, yeah, let's say you have two liquids mixed with each other. Will I say, even if I'll say that liquid absorbed into a solid is considered to be tam, but somebody could say, very good, that's when it's absorbed into it. But two liquids really is like two dry things together, just because they're so liquid, so then they mix very well. But maybe that has nothing to do with tam. So let's put that on the side. Now, what is the makar, l'mais of tam? Where does it come from? So the Gemara in Pesachim, in Mem Dalev to Mem Hei, speaks about exactly what are the mikaris. And it goes through different opinions, and it basically brings there are four options what could be the source for Tam Ke'ikar. One is Basar V'chalav, like we mentioned, right? Basar V'chalav said that if you have milk that has Tam of Basar or Basar that has Tam of Chalav, it's also, so you see that Tayra says that Tam is something which is relevant, and Mimela, it's also, so you see, we'll learn from there to everywhere else. Wherever I have the flavor of the thing which is also, it's going to be considered like I have it here, and it'll be awesome. But the Gemara says that that's not a good source. Why? Because we find that, let's say I put tam of basar into chalav, or vice versa, without cooking, right? For example, let's say you let it sit there for 24 hours, which goes through a process called kvisha, right? It's like pickled, and mimela, there is a transfer of flavor. La halacha midiraisa, there's no problem with that. Right? So you see that basar v'chalav, although there is some aspect of tam, we can't learn from there to call it tarakula because there's a chiddush aspect, which is that it's not limited to tam. It has to go through a process of bishul in order to be nesar. So that wouldn't be a good source. The Gemara then says maybe there's a source. It's not exactly in this order because it's bringing in another sugi over there. But basically, another tzad the Gemara has is to learn it from chatos. There's a pasuk in the Torah when it comes to carbon chatos that it says, Kol shayiga basara, what's the lashon? Yikdash, yeah. Meaning, there's a halacha of chatos. Chatos, different karbonis have different halachas. Some of them can be eaten for 2 days and a night, and some of them can be eaten for only a day and a night. A chatos has a shorter shear, only a day and a night. And if anything touches it and absorbs from it, the Gemara Darshan has to absorb from it. So then that thing also could only be eaten for a day and a night. So again, we see that when something absorbs from something else, which l'chayr is a situation of tam, we see that the tam is relevant and it changes the status of the thing which absorbed from the other thing. So the Gemara says that's also not a good source to call tarakula. It is a good source for kachim, but since kachim, one could say, is more chomer than chulin, so we can't learn from chatos to chulin. But certainly it's a good source for all kachim that we're going to say tam keikar. And that's a source for kachim. But we're still stuck. What about chulin? So the Gemara then says basically we have machloikis, Rabbanan, and Rabbi Akiva. There's two other sources. Rabbanan learn that we learn tam keikar from the pasuk of Mishras Anovim, which is that by Nazir, the pasuk says that if you take grapes, let's say, and you let them sit in water, and then you remove the grapes, the Nazir can't drink that water. And therefore, we see that tam is an issue, and from there we're able to learn to call tarakula. Rabbi Kiva says we have a different source, like we just heard from Rabbi Hartman, that he didn't mention this part, but basically after Melchemes Midyan, many years later, towards the end of the time in the Midbar, Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that if we want to use the kelim that we just got through Kivus Muhamma, then we're going to have to kasha them. And so on. So therefore, what was the issue? These kelim are clean. The only issue is that they're absorbed from the flavor of the gayim, that they were using it for non-kosher food. So we see that tam, again, that's a source for tam ke'ikar. Fine. So that's l'chayra, clear gemara, and that seems to be the maskanas of gemara and psachim. And we have two solid makairis for tam ke'ikar by chulin. However, there's gemara in Zvachim, which is discussing the shiurim for bittel. Right, we know there's two types of mixtures. You have a mixture of things which are similarly taste, that's what's called min b'minai, and then with the rice that's bottle arrived, there's no tam ke'ikar to discuss because there is no tam. And there's a tarayvus of min b'she'ina minai when there is a tam, and then there's a machlokes in the Gemara, how much is the sheer bittel for that? Is it 100, 1 to 100, or is it 1 to 60? So the Gemara in discussing those shiurim says that it's based on the halacha of El Nazir, which is that when a Nazir brings one of his karbanos, he has to cook it, and after he cooks it, he gives a zraya to the kohen. Now that zraya, he's not allowed to eat. Only kohanim are allowed to eat it. And yet, he cooks it together with the whole animal. So and they learn from there, it's a bit complicated how we see over there that there's a concept of bittul. But Al-Kapanim, the Gemara says, it brings in zraya b'shel. So then the Gemara on that says, how could we learn shishim from Zeroy B'Sheila, there's a brisa that says, Zeu Heter Abba Mechal Iser, that the concept of Zeroy B'Sheila is unique, and we can't learn from there. Here it's Mutter, but everywhere else it would be Aser. So how is this a source to teach you a Heter everywhere? So the Gemara says, we could certainly use this as a source, when it says Zeu Heter Abba Mechal Iser, it's regarding a different halacha. Which halacha? Tam Ke'ikar B'Kachim, meaning that normally Tam Ke'ikar is Aser, and here it should be Aser. But here, there's a special heter that it's mutter. Now, obviously, that seems to be in conflict with the fact that we just said that it's a source of bittul. That's twice the success of that, but we'll leave that on the side. The point is that the Gemara seems to say explicitly that tam ke'ikar is only negeya b'kachim, which is in conflict with the Gemara Pesachim that we just said. So Rashi, in fact, actually says, right there on the page, that we see from Rava that the halacha is tam ke'ikar is only midaraisa b'kachim. And by everywhere else, it's only with Rabbanan. He has another raya. He brings Rabbi Yechiron in Gemara Avodah Zarah that says Tamay Veloy Mamashay, which seems to translate as Tam Ke'ikar, is only Asher Rabbanan. He says, well, Rabbi Yechiron doesn't say it's Asher Rabbanan. He says Ain Like an Olaf, which Rashi took to mean that it's only Asher Rabbanan. So he has two sources that the halacha is that tam keker v'chulin is only asar medarbanan. Now, what's he going to do with Gemara Pesachim? We have, seems to be, these two sources. So he says it's one of two options. Either both sources are good, and then you're stuck because you have two snakes of Gom Ke'echad, right? If we have Misras and Gil Nachim, clearly we can't learn one to the other. And Memela, we don't have a source anymore because we'll say those are unique and we can't learn from there. Another explanation, he says, that maybe we'll use it for different halachas. Maybe Misras is coming to teach you that there's a concept of heter mitzdar for iser in a situation l'gabi shiurim. If you have a mixture of iser and heter, there's certain we'll say that it takes over the heter part could fill up the shear of the iser. And the pasuk of Gil Nachrim, he says the Gemara in Pesachim as well, when it speaks about these sources, the Gemara entertains that it's actually a chiddush and we can't learn from Gil Nachrim to anywhere else. Why is it a chiddush? Because even a path which is within a day, what's called a ben yoimai, there's still some sort of, let's say, blemish. It's pogum tzas. It's not the full capacity of the tam, and therefore one could say that even there it's a chiddush because ba'etzem maybe once it should be mutter and achal pikein it's also. So those are two options that Rashi gives. But upon him, Rashi's shita is the tam ke'ikar is only also midrabanan. Tosfos, on the other hand, right over there, argues. He says that we have to say that when it says, Rava said that Tam Kikar is also by Kachim, the Slav Dafka, why does it say Kachim? Because we're talking about Zerai B'Sheila. And obviously he learns the Gemara in Pesachim simply, right? We have two Mekairis that Tam Kikar is also by Raisa. And what about Rashi brought another source, Tam Kikar is on the Rabbanon from Rabbi Eichanan. Rabbi Eichanan said, Tam Evlev Moshai is also, but it's ain't like an olive, which seems to be drabanan. So the different Bali Taisus give different explanations. Either they say that that's talking about min b'minai, and therefore it's batal b'raif, and that's why it's only drabanan, or some say that it's in fact, it's taka asim ederaisa. Why ain't like an olive? Because it's talking in a situation where you have less than kazayas b'rechi ospras, and therefore it's only going to be chatishir, and therefore you don't get malchus for technical reasons. A third explanation is that tam ke'ikr in general, even if you say that it's Asr Midaraisa, what's the source of Tam Keker? They learned the source is Gil Nachrim. Gil Nachrim was a mitzvah sasei to kasher the kelim that we got from the Goyim. If it's a mitzvah sasei, so very nice, you could infer that there's a lav to have the tam, but it's a lav of Amchal Asay. If it's a lav of Amchal Asay, then you don't get Malkus. So therefore, even if you're going to learn that it's Midaraisa, the fact that Rabbi Yechon said that you don't get Malkus, that in and of itself doesn't prove that it's Dirabanan, right? Either because he's talking about a situation of Dirabanan, Minay, or if it's Diraisa and for technical reasons, we don't get Malkus on Tam Keker. So, L'chaira, there's two Gemaras which are very hard to be Miyashiv, as we just mentioned, right? There's almost an explicit Gemara that says Dafka by Kachim, and at the same time, the Gemara Pesachim seems to say that we have Sal M'chairis for Tam Keker, even by Chulin. So, I was trying to understand what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlaikis over here between Rashi and Taisus. What's pushing them to understand the way they did? So, I thought maybe you could say that, as we mentioned in the beginning, we started off discussing what is Tam Keker. And we left off trying to understand, is Lach Palach? What is the status of Lach Palach? Do we look at it as if I have the Isser here and I have the Heter that's just mixed? Or do I say that, no, it's the Heter, but the Isser is absorbed into it, and that's considered Tam? So maybe one could say that it's Gufa, and this Halacha is the Machlokes, Tesis, and Rashi. They're arguing in Svara, do I look at that as Tam, or do I look at that as mamoshus, as ikar, as the etzem iser. Why would I say such a thing? Because be'etzem, there's another very important marmakim in the halachas of tam ke'ikar, which is a mishnah and chala. The mishnah and chala says that if you take a dough and you the base of the dough, let's say, is wheat, right? But there's a majority of rice, which you use to make the dough, right? Also isam and achitin min ha'ariz, using wheat and rice. So the Mishnah says, im yesh padam dagon, if you have a flavor of dagon, meaning wheat, then you're yoytze dechavasa bePesach. You could use this to be yoytze your chiyuv of matzah on Pesach. So this l'chayra is a clear Mishnah that tam ke'ikar is daraisa. You're going to eat ad kedei kach, yoytze your mitzvah daraisa of eating matzah. And be'etzem, the Gemara in Zvachim actually says this is a right to tam ke'ikar. So what's Rashi going to do? What are all the shitas that say that tam ke'ikar is rabbanan? What are they going to do with this? So the Rosh in Chulin brings down from the Rishayim that some Rishayim want to answer that. What's Rashi going to say? Rashi is going to say that case is considered tamay umamashay, not what we call tamay v'loy mamashay. Why is it tamay umamashay? Says Rashi, they say because the amount, the quantity of dough here was enlarged by the wheat, and therefore it's considered like have the thing here itself. So the Rosh says, without getting into the svar, why should that automatically make it into tamu l'mashem svar? But he's saying Rashi himself, it doesn't work. Why? Because Rashi, when he explains on the makar, yeah, when Rabbi Yochanan said tamay v'loy ma'mashay, what did Rashi explain? What was the case? Rashi said, for example, let's say you have milk or chalev that was liquefied that fell into a pot. Now, in that situation, certainly the amount of food in the pot is enlarged, right? There's more food now in the pot. So, and that is how Rashi defines tamay v'loy ma'mashay. So the fact that something became bigger doesn't necessarily mean that it's not called tam keiker. Right? Because that's what Rashi says, is Tam Keker. So, what I was thinking is that when the Rishonim say that it's considered Tam Ma'u Mamashay, they don't mean to say it because it's merely bigger. They understood that Lach Balach is considered Tam Ma'u Mamashay, like we said. Because there's a Svara. You could say that it's not one thing absorbed into the other thing. It's the same thing as two dry foods sitting next to each other. Just because they're so small, so then Mimela, they're almost giving tam to each other. But one could say, it's not tam, you're having the actual thing here. So therefore, that's considered tamay umamashay. And if some Rishonim say this, they don't say it explicitly, they just say, like the Ramban, for example, who also holds that tam kikir is Rabbanan, he says this is a case of tam umamashay. He leaves off the words that the Rosh adds, that it's shenis rabo. But even with the word shenis rabo, it could be that that's what the Rishonim meant. When they say shenis rabo, it means that it's not that one thing is absorbed in another. There's more things here, as opposed to more, not quantity, but more. There's more different things, as opposed to just more of the same one thing. And that's what maybe those Rishonim meant. And that's why, lach plach, he said that chalav in the kedera could be Rashi and Echonami. Rashi's talking about the chalav and the chalav shenimcha, which were absorbed in the meat, which are in the pot. But in Echonami, if there's any water juices, those water and juices will be also midraisa. When he says tam keker, the hainu tam of lo mashay, is a case where the challah fell into the pot. He's referring to the dry foods in the pot that absorbed from the liquids. But liquid by itself is not a problem. Now I forgot to just mention that what does the Mishnah of matzah have to do with lach balach? Because basically there's another thing to keep in mind when learning the sugya of tam, that kemach, because it's so fine, the Rishonim treat it as if it's lach. Because what makes something lach? That it's mixed. They become like one, and there's not independent things. So something which is kemach, it's such a fine thing, it's considered lach. At-de-kach, like we find the concept by lach, when you pour things in each other, we say that it mixes, right? Yesh bila. By kemach as well, the halacha is yesh bila. We say if you take two different flowers and you put them with each other, we say that it becomes all mixed and it's completely proportionate. Equally distributed. Okay, so that's Shitas Rashi. So Mela, that Mishnah is not Shver. And Mela, he took the Gemara in Zvachim, which is quite clear that Tankik is only by Kachim, and he felt that he was able to be mad for the Gemara in Pesachim. Taisus, on the other hand, it could be he understood that Kemach be Kemach, meaning Lach be Lach, is Tamay Uma Masha. He understood that's Tamay Vloima Masha, that's Tamke Iker. Right, so if that's Tam Keiker, you have a Mefarsh Mishnah that says that Tam Keiker is the Raisa, right? The Mishnah on Chal says Yoyz Deichav Asai. So because of that, he had no choice. He had to matchik and say that when Rava says Kodshim, Tam Keiker by Kodshim, although it's a huge Deichik, but he says Lav Dafka, he doesn't have a choice because of the Mefarsh Mishnah, which is brought La Halacha, that Tam Keiker is the Raisa. L'maisa Agav, is an interesting kasha that if you hold tam keiker is only also midrabanan, so Rashi said what's going to do with the gemara pesachim, because the gil nachrim either snakes umon keicha, the gil nachrim is a chiddush. But even if you say gil nachrim is a chiddush, what is gil nachrim? Gil nachrim is an al keiser, but basav achalav you can say it's a chiddush. So what am I going to tell you? I'll tell you basav achalav is tam keiker the rai, so everything else not. Like we said by kachim is a chiddush. You can't learn from their type, not a chiddush, but kachim is unique. Kachim is if tam keiker, not to everywhere else. Gil nachrim is all machalas asuras. So very nice. Say gil nachrim is a chiddush, and we can't learn from there. But every time you have a situation of tam, you have that same chiddush. So be'etzem the Ramban asks this kasha. It's brought down by his Talmud the Ra'ah, and he gives a very okay. It's an interesting text, but the kasha is already registered. When you learn the sugyas, you're gonna be able to see it. We don't have time to get into his text. Okay, another just a few nekudas to keep in mind when we're learning the sugya of Nes Talmud Gam. First of all, the halacha, the Achronim seem to understand that Tam Keker is also midraisa, and although it's not my first on Shulchan Aruch, but they infer it from the fact that he says that in a situation where you have a suffek, if you had shishim, for example, you have isra fell into a pot, and then the pot spilled. So now you don't know if when it fell in, did how much did I have here? So in a situation where it's min b'minai, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that it's okay, you could say that there was shishim and smutter. Why? Because midraisa, it's batal b'raif, it's only ishu d'rabanan, we could be meiko. However, by min b'she'in aminai, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you have to be machmir. So it seems to be the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's raisa, and that's what the Achronim seem to say. But there are some shittus who taka want to learn that even the halacha, we paskin that it's only the rabbanon. And they have a riot to this because even in the first halacha in Taroivis, when it comes to Tam Keker, it says that you could give it to a guy to taste it to see if there's any flavor, and he's believed. And they all say, well, what do you mean? A guy is not believed by the rice of Mesiach HaFitumai, only by the Rabbanon. So the Chumash Hodesh and Taka learns that it's only mid Rabbanon, Tam Keker. That why by Nishpach are we Machmir? Because Nishpach is basically a simple suffix, the rice of the Rabbanon. So he says, since our Shittas that says the rice, we have to be chayshish for the shittas. But as soon as you have any other tsirufim, and it's not a straight shaila, tam ke'ikar, but you have other things, the namanus of the guy, and different issues, then we'll say that avada, the halach is, that is the rabbana. But the maisa, the achrayim, the person that we go with, seem to treat it as the raisa. Another nakuda to keep in mind when learning tam ke'ikar is, obviously you might say, what is tam ke'ikar? How much do I have to eat in order to be over on the tam? So this is a machlaikas. Do I say that if I eat, for example, you have a mixture, right? Do I have to have a kazayas of the iser, and memela, I'm only going to end up getting malchus if, let's say, I have a ratio of a kazayas for kadei chilas pras in the mixture? Or no, the mere fact that I have tam here, if I eat a kazayas of the mixture, I'm already chayiv. So this seems to be a machlaikas as well. Tosfos and Rashi say that what we call nepacha heter liyas ke'iser, the heter itself, because it has tam, becomes iser. And the Ber Hetiv speaks out, interestingly, he says, where did they come from? Because they understood that if you don't say this, you're stuck, because you just go back to Dinei Bittel. They understood that the lumdis of tam keker, it's not simply a statement, well, because there's tam, it's not bottle. They're saying there's a mechanics. The mechanics involved are that the heter becomes iser, and memela, it doesn't make sense to be mevatel the iser, because all you have here is iser. The other shittas say that, no, we don't say that it turns into iser, and the only way you're going to be chayiv is if you have a kazayis of the iser itself, which means you're going to have a lot more of the taroivis in order to be chayiv. And they learned simply that tam ke'ikar is because, since there's tam here, it's almost, so to speak, saying that the iser is nikar. So obviously, Kempin Vatle, it's saying, I'm here. But another nakuda, just the that's also important when it comes to tam ke'ikar is, although we just said that we have two malachim, right, is tam ke'ikar that it turns into iser, or tam ke'ikar is that it says it's not batal. That doesn't mean to say that without tam ke'ikar, you'll still need to come onto dine bittal, meaning that Rabbi Akiva Eiger declares, Shaila, what's going to be the halacha? Let's say we don't say tam ke'ikar, or even if you hold of tam ke'ikar, but in a situation of a nice tam ufagam, where we're not bothered with the tam, do I still say you have to be mevatel that thing that's creating the tam? Or do I say that's not the Torah doesn't answer? If you don't say tam ke'ikar, that thing that's giving off the tam, the Torah doesn't answer. And even in a situation where l'chayra, if you would extract those juices, whatever they are, and put it in a cup, l'chayra, that would be asr. But the Rishayim seem to say that even if you say that, it could be the Torah only answered it when it's be'ed, when it's b'fnei atzmai. Right? There's a pasuk that says, ha'tmeim la'abes tirim v'raitvan. By Shrotim, the apostle says that the tzir and the roit, if it comes out of our asr, could be that's only when you have it by itself. But b'taroivus, the Torah never answered it. So that as well, the Rabbi Kveger speaks out that he has a nice riot from the Ran. The Ran says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'minoi is not bottle at all. Right? We said before, min b'minoi, this is how we pass it, min b'minoi is bottle b'roiv mid raisa. Rabbi Yehuda is the other extreme. He holds that when you have two things that are the same, there's no bittle, there's no conflict, and there's no bittle. But he says the Ran that in a situation of tam, so then by min b'minoi, it's mutter, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So if you're going to say that if you don't hold the tam ke'ikar, so if you say that you need to come out the bittul, so then even if you don't hold the tam ke'ikar, l'fi Rabbi Yehuda, by min b'minoi, it should be aser, because you still have to be mevatel the thing that's giving the tam. But if you say that the tam ke'ikar is mechadish, that the thing itself that's giving the tam is aser, and without tam ke'ikar, that's not aser at all, so that's why, like Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's mimimina, it's going to be mutter. So that's he brings a raya, which I think is a tzad, that's a bigger chiddush, that without tam ke'ikar, you wouldn't even need to come on to betel. Sure.